responses to God and His Word spark a revival because of what God is doing in your own heart? There are many testimonies in the annals of church history where a bunch of young people had the courage and the faith to believe God and to step out into the waters. God began to do beautiful things. There's something very precious about young people. You know, you're not all set in all your ways yet. And there's a bit of a reckless faith in young people. You know, the kind that'll make you forsake everything and go off to some other land and live in a mud hut somewhere or live in a place where no one else would go. There's kind of a reckless faith in young people, you know, that they're willing to do things like that. And I thought about this week, and I thought about all of you, and I just want to encourage you that you do have the potential by the responses that you make to what you're hearing to spark a revival. There have been many groups of young people who went home after Bible school, and the minister of their local congregation thought it would be nice, you know, to let the young people share a little bit this morning. They've been at Bible school all week, not realizing what had happened in the young people's heart while they were at Bible school. By the time the young people were finished sharing what God had done in their heart, there was such an anointed brokenness upon it that it affected the whole church. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I don't know if you understand it, but you know, I like the way that Charles Finney teaches about revival. He says that the principles of revival are no different than the principles of growing a garden, getting a harvest. If you do this, you'll get this. If you don't do this, you will get this. And the principles that you are being taught through this week, if you will all open your heart to them and respond to them, it will do a mighty work in your own heart, and it will be infectious upon other hearts, and it can go home and bless wherever you live. That's a good prayer to pray to God, isn't it? That God would do that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father and our God, yes, Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for this hour that we're all gathered in this place. Thank you for every one of these young people. God, I thank you for the potential that lies within every one of them. Oh God, if they had any idea what you want to do in their life, they would be so excited, God. Open their eyes, God. Open the eyes of their heart that they may see and begin to grasp and believe all the records that God gave them, God, and all the Lord, we're going to learn about faith here in this afternoon session. And we have a lot to learn. So we pray. Please help us, God. And give us your wisdom and light from your word by your spirit. Wash us, Lord, in your blood. Even now, this moment, with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I had the opportunity of keeping you awake this afternoon. It wasn't hard to stay awake while you were singing because most of the time you were standing. And there's a lot of action in singing, but now the singing is over and you're all sitting down and I have the blessed opportunity of keeping you awake. And I do plan to do that, so if all of a sudden I jump up somewhere and you wonder where I went, I'm only trying to get somebody to wake up. And it is amazing how when you are just starting to go off to sleep, if somebody moves over here, somehow in your mind you realize something changed and you wake up. So, you'll understand me as we go here. The title for this series, I know that it says Biblical Faith there in your little schedule, but I mean the influences, the functions, the power, and the definition of biblical faith. By that I mean the influences, the functions, the power, and the definition of biblical faith. Biblical faith is dynamic. I use the term biblical faith because there are other kinds of faith also. I mean, today as we stand here, I believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Now, I wasn't there. I never sat there. I wasn't at his inaugural address. But I read a history book and I believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States, but that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is much more than that. And we will see that as we move along through these lessons. But biblical faith is dynamic. And by that I mean it is marked by continuous, productive activity. Biblical faith is vigorous. It is vital and it's energizing. Biblical faith will make you a ball of energy and activity. Biblical faith will do that. All you have to do is go into the Bible and see a few examples of men who had this faith in them and exercised this faith, and you can see what I'm saying. Now the word faith has become almost a commonplace word, and therefore we have to add other words to it. We put biblical there. We can put real there, like our brother Ken did this morning, real Christianity. Why do you put words there like that? Because it has lost its meaning. And faith has also lost its meaning. It has slowly degenerated into a heady, a mental, meaningless word. We live in a land where 40 million people say, I have faith. I have faith. Well, after we get done looking at what biblical faith is, I'm sure we will all agree they can't all have that kind of faith. Because it's this faith that we're speaking about, it produces some very beautiful things in the life and in the lives around it. Biblical faith does that. Now I want to give you a memory assignment, and if you will turn there, we're going to read this memory assignment today, but I want you to memorize some verses. You turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I think there are 18 verses. And we're all going to memorize them. I don't know them. I've not sat down and memorized these verses myself, although I'm very familiar with them. But I'm giving you this memory work because this is Bible school. And it's good for you to be exercising your heart and your mind in the things of the Word of God. So, We have 18 verses. We will take 5 for tomorrow and 5 for Wednesday. And then, let's see how that works out. We have 4 days. Yeah, 5 and 5 is 10, and then 4 and 4 is 18. So we'll take 5 for tomorrow, and 5 for the next day, and 4 for the next, and 4 for the next. And this is the text that we would like to memorize. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35, and we will end with verse 13. Verse 35. Reading carefully and prayerfully. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Abraham obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now tomorrow we'll quote verse 35 through 39 of chapter 10, and then we will read the rest, and then we'll just move our way through it, and you be diligent and put your minds on that. I'm going to do the same, and you're way ahead of me, because my mind is much older than yours, so we will take it together, and we'll suffer the embarrassment together, but we're going to put our mind on learning these verses. Now, I'd like us now to open our Bibles again to John chapter 20. As we look at this subject of faith, I want to begin by looking at an opposite of faith. John chapter 20, reading from verse 24. Now, John chapter 20 is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has rose from the dead. Some have seen him, some have not. Some believed without seeing, others did not. But we focus in here, in the beginning of our meditations, on the dynamics of biblical faith by looking at an opposite. Sometimes it's good to look at the opposite so we can begin to understand what the true really is. And we have such a beautiful example here of an opposite. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Wow, what a statement. We have seen the Lord coming. And you can be sure there was some enthusiasm in those words when they said that. Just like before, when one went to the other and said, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Come and see. Here they are now saying to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe, said Thomas. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, even though Thomas said, this is what I've got to do in order to believe, I want us to notice that he didn't have to do that. I mean, neither would you if all of a sudden, with the door being shut, Jesus was there. That was enough. Then saith he, Jesus, to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Notice those little words. Thomas, be not faithless, but be believing, is what it means. Don't be faithless. Don't be one without faith, but be one who is believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Here we have an example of what biblical faith is not, and also a blessing upon the true biblical faith. Biblical faith is not, as the little American cliche says, seeing is believing. Well, that may be so in a natural sense, but it's not so in a biblical sense. In fact, in the biblical sense, it's the exact opposite of that. Not seeing and believing is biblical faith. And so, even as we sit here today, we sit here, many of us, receiving a blessing from the Word that the Lord Jesus spoke there to Thomas when he said, "Blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe." And here we sit here today, and we have not seen, and yet we believe. The word believe and the word faith. Young people, these are New Testament words. And we will look into the reasons for that later, but I would like you to note that in the beginning. The word believe and the word faith. These are New Testament words. You won't find the word believe in the Old Testament. And you'll only find the word faith in the Old Testament two times. But in the New, believe appears 150 times, and faith appears 247 times. Please note that there are some very deep meanings behind that word. What does the word believe mean? When we say to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Beautiful text. That's the text that was the answer that Paul gave to the Philippian jailer when he threw himself down after the earthquake there and said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" Did he say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved"? What does it mean to believe? It means to rely upon. It means to rest in. It means to trust in. It means to lean wholly upon. Wholly upon. It means to commit completely. That's what the word believe means. It's not the same word as when I stand up here today and say to you that I believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. That word is not the same. I'm not casting my whole life on the fact that George Washington was the president of the United States. But the word believe is a powerful word. Thomas had to see. He had to touch. And he had to handle Jesus. Told him, "Don't be faithless. Don't be faithless." Now I want to illustrate, for the first illustration on biblical faith this afternoon, and I had a choice which chair to bring up here. There were a few of them like this, and then some of you are sitting on those folding ones, you know, that are made out of plastic. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to stand on one of those. I don't have faith in those chairs. Amen? But what does it mean to believe? The illustration of a chair, though it's very simple and it's very basic, it explains it all. To believe is to rely upon, to rest in, to trust in, to lean wholly upon, and to commit completely unto this chair. Right now, I am believing in this chair. I have my total confidence in this chair's ability to hold me up. And that's why I wouldn't bring the other one up here, because I didn't have total confidence in that chair's ability to hold me up. But because I have confidence in this chair, I am believing in this chair. And I mean, I have so much confidence, I could finish my whole sermon up here. It wouldn't bother me a bit. That's how much confidence I have in this chair. That's what believing is. I am relying upon this chair. I am trusting in this chair. I am leaning wholly upon this chair. I am committing myself completely to this chair. I am believing in this chair. That's biblical faith. That's what the word believe means. Now, where was my faith? My faith was in the chair. You know, it's an awesome statement to me when you think about what Thomas said, and I don't want to be hard on him because I have enough of struggles in my own life. I don't need to look at him and say what a failure he was. But it's an awesome statement what he made there. And maybe he expressed truly and honestly what we only express inwardly and think in our heart. But he basically said, I am not going to put my trust in and lean completely on and commit myself fully to until I can put my hand in the nail print in his hands, and until I can thrust my hand into his side, I am not going to put my trust and my complete leaning upon him until I can see those things. That's what he was saying. I will not believe, he said. Now, I want us also to notice that that is a choice that he's making there. And it's also a choice. It's just as much a choice as it is for me to make it a choice. I am choosing to do this. I am choosing to do this. Now, if you put that other chair up here, I'm not sure that I would be so bold. Did you hear me? I'm not so sure I'd be so bold. If you put that other thing up here, I've stood on them before, you know, trying to reach something or try to do a little bit of work. And while you're standing there, you know, the thing is going back and forth like this. And you step one way and the thing leans down and no thank you. I don't want to put my trust in that chair. But this one, I choose to put my trust in this chair. It is a choice that we make.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.